Hey listeners, the audio on this episode is not the best, but it does clear up around the 22-minute mark, and give it a shot, and it'll clear up, and it was a really good discussion, so I didn't have the heart to just trash the whole episode, so take a listen.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Hanako.
Hey!
How are ya?
I'm good.
All right.
Not as good as I can be.
Well, I mean, we're all still cooped up in our homes. We're still living the post-apocalyptic global pandemic. Where you could say pandemic and that meant global, but whatever. We're not going to do pandemic. We're going to do like a little bit of, I guess, is this fantasy that we're doing?
Yeah. I would say
fantasy. Yeah, not like Lord of the Rings fantasy, but.
Fantasy is supernatural, genre.
Yeah. So there's a cute little show on Netflix and it's called Lock and Key. And Hanako told me about it some months ago and just, said I should watch it. And I really kind of wanted to take a break from, things that I'm supposed to be watching, like Watchmen and, serious things. And I wanted something fun and light. So I took her up on it and I started watching it. And I thought it was just a really cute, easy show to watch, easy to binge. You don't really have to pay that much attention because, the writers aren't trying to trick you or be clever or, it was good writing or whatever and everything was clever, but not in a way that exhausts you. Like, you don't have to look, okay, did the butterfly wings flap 2 times? And, you don't have to pay attention for things like that. So I thought it was just really good. It was a really cute show. What drew you to this one, Hanako?
I'm sorry, my mic just cut out, so I completely missed the last part of what you said.
That's fine. I heard a little tone too. It sounded like I don't know what that was, but my question was So Hanako, what drew you to this show, Lock and Key?
It was one of those shows where I was seeing a lot of promos for it, not very familiar with it. It is a comic book series, but of course, I don't have the time to read the comic book, and I didn't have time to read comic books, so I wasn't familiar with it. And just looking at the previews and looking at what the show is about, of course, anything with magic kind of piques my interest, and this has a lot of as we said, it's kind of fantasy and magical, so that caught my interest. And then just after watching the first episode, it held my interest, and it was really different for me in the fact that you've got these kids who have lost their father under violent circumstances, and they moved across the country to kind of start over. And just in that first episode, I see a couple of, actors that I'm familiar with. You've got one of the Ashmore brothers, and you've got Bobby Spanchfield, who was on Scandal. And I was like, oh, okay, this is something different from what I'm used to seeing her in. So, just kind of watching it, and the story just kind of kept me intrigued from episode to episode, and I really enjoyed it. You've got good cast of characters. It was really good.
Yeah, I agree with you. I liked I didn't like that they lost their father, but it was a big driver of the story, because there was that mystery, why would somebody kill him? The wife wanted to know that, so she uprooted them from Seattle, took them to East Coast somewhere over here, and I know the smallest kid, the little boy, he kind of worked my nerves for the first couple of episodes, but then he started to get less annoying, because they kind of quit making him the annoying child, and he actually had a job to like be part of, you know, the mystery and part of figuring it out.
I think that was one of the things that I enjoyed about the show. When we first see him, of course, he's this really cute little kid, and he's curious as all kids are. And my daughter and I both said the same thing when we started watching it. We were like, okay, please don't make us attached to this kid and something bad happens to him. Like, I
No.
couldn't take that if that was the case. But just, you know, from the very first episode, Bodhi was the one who was in tune to everything that was going on, even though, yes, the well lady kind of tricked him into that, but still, it's kind of like you always see, you see shows where kids are part of the cast or kids are part of the main characters, and you know, a lot of times they're annoying, a lot of times they don't listen to the adults, and you know, they're kind of, it's kind of like they're a side story. They're supposed to be the distraction, but Bodhi is actually like one of the smartest people on the show. You
Right.
know, because he's so young, I feel, and that was the thing that we saw throughout the show. Like the teenagers, they had to witness everything for themselves to know something was off. The grown-ups knew something was off, but then at the same time, you know, once they were kind of removed from the situation, like say the mom with the house of mirrors or with the mirror closet, you know, after a couple of hours, she just kind of forgot everything that was going on. I thought that
You
was
know what?
an interesting.
I love that, Hanako. I want to talk about that a little bit more because what does that mean? It meant there's this thing like only children can hear this certain tone, but once you get a little older, you can't hear it anymore.
Well,
There's a thing that.
I think it's kind of like what we experience in real life. You know, kids, when they're young, they're innocent and their minds have not been corrupted, their minds have not been manipulated, haven't been shaped. So kids are really open-minded about a lot of things, even in real life. You know, kids are more open-minded about people's differences, about, you know, accepting people as they are without, you know, looking at them as, oh, they're weird, they're different. You know, kids are just generally innocent and they're good-hearted and they're open-minded. So I think they have the ability to see things that we as adults don't, because as adults, you know, we're jaded. We've been told that certain things just can't exist, or you know, if we believe in certain things, or if you have a belief system that's different from the status quo, then you're weird, you're different, you're off.
Your
And I just
life is going to be very hard. It's going to be different. So
right.
as an
And I
adult,
just
you
think
have to
that as
fall
an
in line.
adult, yeah, I think just as an adult, we are conditioned to kind of close our minds off to things. And I mean, it's a big thing with what we deal with in the real world right now. You still have people who are racist because they can't open their minds to the fact that, okay, you know, people of color and people of other nationalities are the same as them. You have people who are closed-minded towards homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism and everything because they have been conditioned to say, okay, this is different from what I know to be as quote unquote normal. So they can't accept it. And I think it's the same thing when you go into these shows. The older we get, the more closed off, you know, we become with our mode of thinking. So I
But
think this
don't.
show really kind of illustrates that, in the fact that Bodhi, like I said, from the first episode, from the first 5 minutes, he is introduced to this well lady, and he doesn't think that it's kind of off. He's just like asking questions like a normal kid. Why are you down in the well? Can you come up? Blah blah blah. And then you
Yeah.
have the older people, like the mom, who you know goes through this experience where she's almost lost in the mirror, and then when she comes out in the next morning, she doesn't even remember it. And then the only time she can actually, you know, comprehend that magic might be real is when she is like 3 feet
Drunk.
to the well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
So, and I thought that was very interesting too, 'cause so what is drinking alcohol does? It brings down your inhibitions. It makes you, for some people, it makes you an angry drunk, but for me, like I'm happy drunk. I want to be loud and woo, let's do everything. But okay, I'm just going to get past that. But
You have people who are more susceptible more susceptible to suggestion or to other things when they're drunk, like you said, because their inhibitions are lower. So they're kind of open to everything at that point. So, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why she was able to see things in that state. But then, of course, that means that she's perpetually putting herself in danger, putting her kids in danger.
If she would have remained drunk, yeah.
People who are alcoholics are not, you know, at least her type of alcoholic is not functioning. We got several reminders of this throughout the show, you know, her struggle with alcohol, the fact that she was an absentee parent when she was drinking. So, you know, it was just, I like the way that they put it. It's like they put all of this stuff in the show, and they didn't beat us over the head with it, but they gave it to us just enough to where it wasn't overbearing. Like, it was part of the story, and it was a realistic part of the story, and it made sense. So it wasn't like they were trying to fit all of these different things into the story and throwing things together, making it, like, from the first episode to the last episode, like, there was a really good flow with all of the, with all of the episodes, with all of the storylines, with the character development, even the character complication, you know, when it was explained, it was like, oh, okay, this kind of makes sense. You know, I would fall for this if I was, you know, in this world. So they did a really good job with the writing and the storytelling and the character development.
Right. I also enjoy, like, the main part of the story, which was the keys. I felt like I watched something that was similar to this a long time ago. I can't remember what it was called, but it was, instead of keys, it was doors, and it was surrounded by a motel, and you could go wherever or do something, and this motel would go to many different doors, many different times or whatever. And I thought it was a fascinating show. This is almost like that, but it's different in that you have to use physical keys. Only certain people can hear the keys. Only certain people can use certain keys. I like how some of them were. I wish they had more that did different things, but I thought they were fun as they discovered them. A transporter key, a key that you can walk into your own mind, and you can have somebody walk into your own mind too.
Oh my god, that was,
it's crazy. But it was great. I would be pissed if my mind was in 80s mall with all those colors. That's not what I imagine my mind to look like, and I would not be happy.
That was a bit much. I was like, whoa, there's so, you know, because when you think about genre TV, there's always like dark colors, a dark tone. So all of this brightness, like, I had to pause it and kind of adjust my eyes because I was like, wow, there's so much color in this.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny too. It was kind of like, you know, it's kind of like you, in her mind, she reverted to a simpler time, something that was fun. And it was like all of these different layers, and you could kind of see like all of the shots were layered with like different emotions or different parts of her past and how she kind of compartmentalizes things. So that was really fun. But again, it was really weird. It's like you stick this key in the back of your head and you just kind of, you're like dead standing there. And it's just, it was weird. I mean, the way that the keys worked, that was weird. But at the same time, again, I've never seen anything like this. So it was really cool. Just the way that they were able to hear the keys and what the keys did. I mean, but you also got to see the different consequences of that too. Just like with the key that Kinsey had, where she used it to bully
a bully,
and it's kind of like it's one of those things that kind of makes you look at your own reaction to things, because of course at first glance we're looking at it like, oh well, she's been bullying everybody, like she's like the typical bully of the school, and I'm kind of like, okay, she's getting what she deserves. But then Kinsey took it too far. And it's like at a point where it's kind of like, okay, so at what point do you go from being the victim to the bully? And I think a lot of people don't see that even in everyday life. Like, that's what happens with a lot of these kids that go from being victims to standing up for themselves. And then, you know, there's those few that go a little further, and then they become the bully, and they have the power, and they're the ones that are kind of wreaking havoc. So they explored a lot of social issues in this show too, that, you know, again, it wasn't something that you felt like it was being preachy. It wasn't, you know, beating you over the head with it, but it was kind of like, yeah, this is something that you really need to consider. Like, you know, at one point, is she supposed to realize that what she's doing is wrong? And I like that we had a character who basically was like, you know, even after the first time, he was like, okay, that's enough. This was that one little bit was fun. Okay, you're still doing it. Now it's getting to a point where you're being an asshole. And I mean, literally, he's the friend that called her out and was like, hey, what you're doing is wrong, and I'm not going to stick around for it. So I like that aspect of it too. It's kind of, you know, like, you see all of these different things and all of these different lessons, and at the same time, they're not straying away from the main story. You know, again, very, you know, seamless writing with interweaving all of these different things and making it a cohesive, you know, story.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I enjoyed it. And the characters, you know, you've got all these different characters. You've got the, you know, you've got the over exuberant potential love interest, and then you've got the nerdy kids, and you've got the ones who are the nerdy kids, but they're actually really smart because they're trying to create, you know, they're trying to make a movie, and, you know, so you've got
a terrible movie.
Right. and then you've got the bullies, of course. You've got the docs that are kind of the assholes, and, you know, the paraplegic who was keying the car.
Yeah.
He was one of his friends. You know, it's like you've got so many different types of characters. Like, you don't have like this whole clique, and then you've got the outsiders, and then you've got the nerds. It's kind of like they all kind of intermingle at some point together. So it was, you know, that again, refreshing to see, because it's not just your typical high school thing.
Yes. And I like that while we're getting into like some of the story, I felt like the well lady was really scary, because I don't think I remember how she ended up trapped in the well, and how she was able to escape. I think maybe I missed that. Did I, or?
They did talk about it. I cannot remember how she got trapped in the well right now, because I've only done one binge of this show, and that was like,
yeah,
when the show first came out, so like beginning of February was when I watched it. So of course, we didn't realize we were going to be talking about this show tonight, otherwise I would have done a second run. But she, I know that she kind of tricked getting the key from Bodhi. I don't remember exactly how. Oh, I think it had to do with when she had Bodhi in the little fire tornado, and Tyler, the older brother, ended up giving her the key to save Bodhi.
Oh.
Yeah, because of course, you know, she can't take the key from them. They have to.
Right, I know that, but I just didn't remember
what happened. Yeah.
I just didn't remember, like, I still can't picture that moment when she escaped. But when she escaped, it was just like a very different type of villain. Like, she's this, you know, unassuming person. She just looks like a normal, you know, pretty girl who's, you know, goes about her business and goes about her life. But she's like a disaster.
Yeah.
Because she is so mean. She,
Bodhi gave her the door key. The one where you can put the key in and you can take it.
Oh.
I believe that's what happened.
Oh, that makes a little bit of sense.
She tricked him into giving her the key by pretending that she was his friend.
Right, of course.
Once he gave her the key, that's when he realized that she was evil and she was just using him.
Right.
Yeah.
So she was just very interesting to me because even when they revealed what she was, I still kind of didn't get her motivations because I don't understand what she is. Like, is she a demon? Like, because they said she was a demon. Or is she somebody from another planet? What was her goal? Or are there more of her? Are there more keys? Is there another house? Where were they made? How were they made? Is this a alternate dimension? Is this a side dimension? You know, like, there's so many questions I have left.
Yeah, well, you know, we're hitting the season two, so maybe they'll go into more of the history of the key house and the keys and what's going on. Maybe they'll do that with the next season.
Yeah,
But
maybe they will.
they got renewed, I think, pretty quickly. So yeah, I mean.
It was great. I mean, like, one of the keys I think was my favorite was where the ghost key. When Bodhi went out and he out of his body and flew around his the
Yes.
estate and then went to the family graveyard. And I just thought it was super cool to be able to just sit around and talk with your ancestors. I don't think he used that enough, but it was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? The fire key was pretty cool. As we and then so when we have Well Lady, then we have the actual kid that killed the father. His motivations, when we learned what happened to him, that he was just like Bodhi or whatever, it was very sad.
You know, that particular character, of course, you know, towards the end of the series, when we find out, again, when he's talking about, we saw a little bit of his backstory. We saw that he was coming from an abusive home, and basically the Well Lady just kind of manipulated him into doing what she wanted, which was killing Randall and, you know, trying to find the keys and bringing her the keys, and then you know, she kind of let him know at the end that she was just using him. She didn't care about him. There was nothing special about him. And that whole episode was hard to watch, but it's
When he, you know, touched the doorknob because Bodhi left the key in the door, and of course, you know, he had the ghost key in the door, and so he opened up that door thinking he was running away from the police, and what ended up happening was his soul ended up going out because the ghost key was in the door, and so when the police found his body, and of course he looks like he's dead because he doesn't have his soul in his body, and he realizes what's going on. He tries to go back into the house at the same time that the police closes the door, which basically is, you know, just makes it so that he is in their eyes dead. Like something happened and he died, but he's actually now trapped for all eternity with just his soul roaming the earth. And that was a really hard scene to watch. I was watching it with my daughter, and when that happened, like literally the minute the door closed and we realized what happened, she broke out in tears, and we had to stop the show. And I was like, okay, what's going on? What happened? Like, why did that affect you so much? And she had to kind of, you know, she was like, give me a minute, let me process this. And I was like, okay. So we sat there for a few minutes, and then when she was able to talk, she said that scene kind of parallels what people with mental health go through, because of course it's easy to see that character, and I cannot think of his name right now, but he, you know, he was going through something. His dad was abusive. He was pretty much abandoned. He thought that, you know, Randall Locke and Tyler were using him because that's what the Well Lady had put into his head. So he's feeling abandoned, and of course he's going through a lot of things. And so for him to be screaming out for help or looking for acceptance from the Well Lady, and then to be told that he's nothing, he's not important, he's not special, and then for him to be essentially lost to the world, it was just kind of like a strong parallel, and it was something that resonated with her very, very strongly, given that she is also dealing with mental health issues. And so again, it's one of those scenes where they're taking something that's a social issue and they're incorporating it into the show, but they're doing it in a way where it's not beating us over the head or it's not feeling like it's being preachy. But, I mean, they put it in a very realistic situation, and it was just kind of, it had a really, really strong impact. So yeah, that's another thing that I do love about the show, is like they take all of these different little things and it makes such a huge impact with, you know, just kind of simple storytelling. You know, the alcoholism that the mom is dealing with, the post-traumatic stress that Kenzie is dealing with because she feels like she should have done more to, you know, she should have fought. And, you know, Tyler has to tell her, but you did fight. You fought by keeping Bodhi safe. Yeah. And so it's just like all these different little things that are addressed in the show. And I just, again, I love the way that they told the story, and I love the way that they kind of incorporated these characters and just the different layers of the emotions and the trauma and how they deal with what they're dealing with and how they come back from it. It's just, it was a lot, and it was something that I was not expecting from a show like this, and it was a pleasant surprise. You know, like I said, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I agree with all of that. It felt a bit tragic when he had discovered the villain guy. I tried to find his name and I can't do it. We'll come up with it eventually. But the guy who killed the father, it was a very sad thing to see, because he wasted his whole entire life on crap. You know, at first I thought he was like some big bad and or whatever, and he was like three shades of crazy when he was just some insecure kid thinking that this chick was like be all
thinking
end
that
all.
Someone cared for him, right. And you know, it just turned out that just, you know, it just wasn't to be, or she was just, you know, she was just using him, just like, you know, it was sad and it was heartbreaking. But then, like, immediately after that episode, my thought was, well, what happened to his sister? Like, we see that was basically protecting his little sister from the dad, and it's like, we don't know what happened to her. So,
well, maybe we'll hear something about that. Maybe, I don't know, but I feel like maybe
Sam,
his story.
That's his name, Sam.
Yes. Sam.
Yes, Sam.
Oh my God.
I had to think about it. I was like, wait, what? Yes.
We couldn't. It's just such a non name. But, not a non name. We have Samuel Winchester. But, anyway. Let's see what else happens. I really, like the backstory of, the dad and his friends and how they came to like such a sad end with all of them mostly dying, and all of them made a pact to keep the secret of the keys. They all had, scars the same. All of them
and the boyfriend
died.
Okay, so let's talk about this boyfriend who never died and was staying with Ellie and Rufus. And that was like, that I think that was probably the most disturbing part of the show to me.
Yeah.
because I know it's like, when you're looking at it, you know that this actor is probably a grown man, and so her kissing on this grown man is acceptable. But in the show, he's a dead 17-year-old, and he's manipulating her. He's like making her feel guilty, and he's manipulating her, and he's blackmailing her, and he's also like playing on her emotions, because obviously that's like, I don't know what kind of relationship they had at 17 to where she was still carrying a torch for him all of those years later. But I mean, he was just using all of that.
But
and
it was a tragic end. It was a tragic
end. It was, but still.
That's
like,
why she's still, it's, I mean, if you, have you had a friend that you lost in high school and it just is not, it's different than when you become an adult. It's more painful. And the fact that she had a relationship with this child,
to find out that he was actually the well lady, like the well lady was using.
He was the well lady and one more person.
Oh my God. It was just like, oh my God. Like he was like, just like you were saying, the well lady or Dodge as she's known, like she was a scary type of villain in this show. But I think her as Lucas was probably the part that creeped me out the most. Yeah. Like there's something about the way that actor played Lucas. It's kind of like he's charming and he's dangerous. And it's like if you're, because Ellie was kind of invested in him at first, you couldn't really see the dangerous part. It was just kind of like one of those, okay, he's supposed to be dead. Why is he staying in her house? That's when I was like, okay, this is about to get very interesting mm-hmm. because, you know, it was kind of like one of those plot twists. And just the way he played it from that point out, especially once we knew he was Dodge disguising him. It was so creepy.
He was creepy. I feel like he could play a serial killer because he was just like really, he was creepy with it. And I liked that. I liked her character too because she kind of weaved the back story together to bring it to modern time. And so she was just like that one key person, so to speak, right. because she could fill in some of the blanks that some of us had, but because she was overly emotional and she had been traumatized and stuff, she wasn't so forthcoming with.
And then she was being blackmailed by her dead boyfriend.
And so. She was kind of uncomfortable because she didn't want to tell the wife all of the history with the keys and how actually people got murdered by one of them, you know, in a basement, and then there was a crown, and then there's another key. Because like if the wife comes to town, she brings her kid in tow, they go to this huge mansion and they're living there. I mean, how you just start up with somebody, oh yeah, by the way, could you tear down this wall so I can look for a crown and a key so I can give it to my person, dead boyfriend who looks like my dead boyfriend. It's like it was no way she could tell her any of that at all.
Right.
But
and then when she was accused of killing the principal, speaking of which, I was so glad to see Stephen Williams in there because I love him. So, you know,
Mr. X, but, and he was in Supernatural, he was in X-Files, he's been 21 Jump Street, everything.
But yeah, and so like I kind of, when I'm watching shows like this, there's a part of me that's like wants to be over and analytical and try to figure everything out, but I can't stand doing that because I want to be surprised. So I have to shut that part of my brain out. That's one of the reasons why I can't watch some TV shows, like with my daughter Mia, the one who's in New York, because she is over analytical with everything. So like part of if she's watching a 10 series episode, by episode 3, she's going to have some stuff figured out. And I'm like, how do you even come up with that? So it was kind of like, once you see that plot twist where the principal gets killed and you see Ellie up under the house, I'm like, wait, did she? I didn't think she killed him, but I thought that there was something else going on. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't sure. But then when you see her, and with her son, Rufus, who is also one of my favorite characters. I love him on the show. But, you know, you see the way she is with him. And then to try to think of that character as a cold-blooded killer, it was just, I was like, okay.
It takes a certain type of person to smother somebody with a bag over their head. Like, if she would kill him, I think it'd be more of an accidental shot or an accidental stab, perhaps, or him losing his balance and knocking his head on the wall. No. If you see somebody who puts a bag over somebody's head and suffocates them, that's a different type of killer. So right. I didn't think that she did that. But, you know, we weren't sure because she was skulking around and looking crazy. So
she was being very sketchy.
Yeah.
But, you know, and again, you know, it's kind of like Nina Locke. She was, for her being the type of character that she was, where she wasn't, you know, she didn't remember the magic. And there were some times when she was very I would say, flighty, but it was because she wasn't remembering the magic stuff, so it was kind of throwing her off. Like when the kitchen went up, and yeah. she was just so nonchalant about it. I'm like, okay, even if I didn't remember magic, something is fishy about a stove just all of a sudden.
Well, she said she called four guys to come look at it because she really couldn't accept that it just kind of got on fire. So she knew something was wrong. She had four different people come out to look at it, and then she let it go, but she knew something wasn't quite right.
Right, but that's the other thing I think with the main characters that I like. It's like sometimes when you're looking at these kind of shows where there's like a mystery to be solved or that sort of thing and there's magic involved, it's like not only do the adults seem oblivious, they kind of seem dumb. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, why would you even? And it wasn't the case with this show. I mean, even with Uncle Dunk, Aaron Ashmore, his character, it's kind of like that was another character where you kind of see, okay, Matt, you know, he's an older person. He doesn't remember all of the magical aspects, which is understandable given that that's how that sort of thing happens. But the fact that he couldn't remember a lot about his childhood, that was so weird. And so when they found the key that unlocked all of the memories in the yard, and you can see, like, literally those are all of his, like, his memories are stored in there. That was so trippy, but it was kind of like it makes sense, but at the same time it's just so quick.
It was like a little abusive too. Like I want to see, like, did they take them from him in his head? Did he agree to it? Like,
I don't think he agreed to it. That's the thing. I think they took it from him because the last memory we see of him with his brother in their childhood was when Randall killed Lucas because of what was going on with the mission or whatever the case was. So it's like the memory you see is of your brother killing his best friends, and you're still, I think at the time Duncan was supposed to be like 12 or 13. He was supposed to be really young. And I think they took the memories from him. So they probably, you know, they probably did it without his consent, which is a whole other bag of worms to open. And I want to see, because we see that he's presented with that information. Like Kenzie tries to get him to remember and she starts telling him stuff. And of course his body has like a really strong negative reaction to it. I think he has like migraines and he started throwing up or something like that. So it's kind of like, I want to see how they're going to approach that in the next season. Like, is Duncan going to figure out that his memories were stolen? Are they going to give him back his memories? And then once they do, what is that going to mean for him? Character with this, you know, this history that he has with his brother, a non-history, because I think once Randall left, he never came back. So I don't know. Obviously, he had a relationship with his brother because the kids knew who their uncle was, and like Bodhi ran up to him, and you know, so it's not like it was one of those estranged relationships where, oh yeah, this is my dad's brother, but we've never met him, we have no relationship with him. They very clearly have a good relationship with him, and Nina is very clearly very close to her brother-in-law. So to see that reveal with that character, because I felt like that character had more to offer.
Yeah, I didn't understand why he was there at first for a lot of the time. So yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll get more of his backstory in season two, and we'll see how that relates to everything that went on in the past, especially now since we know that once they opened the Omega door, they were being really careful, but one of those whatever those things were that was flying out the door got onto Gabe, and now he's possessed, and so is the bully. She's possessed. And
Gabe. Gabe was
the other boyfriend, I guess you could say.
He was the other boyfriend, but he was also Dodge.
No, he wasn't Dodge. He was whatever. Well,
No, because he had been manipulating the situation before they opened the Omega Gate. He was Dodge.
Yeah, but I think at the time that they were in the chamber. Well, let me see. I have to think back. Oh yeah, because you know what? They had fake Dodge, who was actually Ellie disguised.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know, but she can't be him and the other. What was the bully girl's name?
No, she's not the bully girl.
At the end? Yeah, I think she was.
Who was Echo?
The one that would be the wannabe actress.
But that was not Well Lady.
No, what I'm saying is at the end of the series, mm-hmm. at the end of the show, remember, we realize that Gabe is, I guess he's either Echo or he's something else that came through. That came through the Omega door before they closed.
But we saw Gabe turn into Lucas. We saw that. I just saw it the other day.
Okay.
I remember that. So Gabe turned into Lucas. And if Gabe is Lucas, that means Gabe Lucas was Well Lady.
Okay, but there's a second person who is also affected.
Right, now. The bully. There's yes, I get that. I get that. The bully. I got that. But I just wanted to see. But my problem with me telling you that Dodge is three people is that I'm not seeing it confirmed on Wikipedia. So I don't.
Yeah. So, and that's another thing. Like I said, I actually am planning to go back and rewatching the show again because, of course, I always watch it the first time, you know, first time through just to get into the series. And then when I do a second one, I go back and I'm like specifically paying attention for things that I might have missed the first time.
Right.
So I'll probably see that when I go back through a second time. I completely forgot that she went the Gabe Lucas herself. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, like I said, so many interesting characters, so many different ways this can go. Especially now that we know that there's going to be a second season, it's just I'm ready for it. And of course, we'll probably have to wait till 2021 because of coronavirus.
2022.
But, oh, don't even say it. Don't even say it.
I mean, yeah, there was just so much in this show, and it was just so different and something we haven't seen before in a while, at least. And it was just really good. And I watched it.
The other thing is, it didn't feel rushed.
No.
Like, they put so much information in, what was it, 10 episodes, 10 episodes, and it never felt rushed to me. Like, it didn't feel like they were just... It didn't feel like they were putting in filler. They kept it really paced really well.
Some of it felt like filler only when we had to deal with the little love stories and stuff. And I was just like, this, ugh. You know,
it is a show about teenagers. You got to put a little bit of that in there.
Yeah, but it was just like, but it was also tragic. It was like Bridge to Terabithia or something. You know, it was just really... Like, if kids were to watch this, yeah, it's intense, but it's unexpectedly intense. So, yeah. I really enjoyed the Omega Door. I don't know what the hell that is. I thought maybe it was like, damn it. What's that movie where the robots come out of the fucking Earth? And they're like Pacific Rim. Oh. I was like, is this Pacific Rim? I don't know.
Yeah, it's either going to another dimension or it's going to like an alien dimension.
Oh, or maybe it's just hell. I don't know. Because they confirm in Wikipedia that she is a demon, Well Lady. But I don't know. I'm going to see something else besides Wikipedia because I feel like they're fast and loose with the info. So, right. I'll see if I can, because I don't know if I have time to rewatch it because I have so many other things to like watch and podcast that I'm being yelled at. I'm being yelled at.
So many things. So yeah.
But
overall, I mean, like I said, I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I actually enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. You know, I was just like, oh, a new series, you know, having to do with magic. And it just kind of looked a little more interesting than anything else I was watching at the time. And it was, it kind of surpassed what I was expecting for it. So that's good.
And it was easy to watch. Like, I actually wanted to know what the end was. So I kept watching it. And it was one of those things that I kind of put on. I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to put this on in the background, and it drew me in. However, I was watching it. I was watching it with a friend, and he hated it, and he hated the kid because the kid was really annoying, like maybe in the first couple of episodes. But I was just like, you know,
you gotta think about how old Bodhi is supposed to be, though. I mean,
but I got over it because he started growing on me because he started to be clever. So I got past that, but my friend did not get past that, and I was just like, you don't understand, so much ground have been laid with these keys and everything else. This is a very good story, but he wanted to watch like reality TV, so I was just like,
whatever. You need a new you need to find a new friend now.
I know. I was just like, that's why I was just like, I'm not okay, we could turn this off, but I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna watch the rest of it, and you're gonna be calling me like, what you doing? And I'd be like, I'm watching the show.
But that's the other thing. That was something else I meant to say earlier as far as Bodhi. Like, one of the things that I like about Bodhi was that even though he's a little kid, he stood up for himself. Like, he wasn't the kind of kid that let his older brother or sister boss him around or whatever. Because when they started finding out about the keys, they started trying to keep it to themselves. And he was like, excuse me, you wouldn't even know the existence of these keys if it wasn't for me. So you will not believe me.
He was making some mistakes. He was making some mistakes. And but then they started making mistakes too. And so that's when he kind of got pissed off.
Right.
There was just a lot going on. I mean, because these kids, everybody in it they were all a little damaged. They were all a little frayed. It was a new town, this new big stupid house that's not even a Texas house where you can say, oh yeah, you know, houses are like that. They're just big like that. No, that house was crazy huge. And I love these stories where they say they just, you know, show up. Oh yeah, this house is better than the family. Perfectly manicured, everything. It's been in the house. I mean, it's been in the family forever. We're just going to come in, show up. It's already decorated and fully furnished, but it's just been kind of sitting there. Like, really?
Right.
We're just going to live in it and, you know.
Yeah. But, so I like that it was kind of, and you know what? It kind of reminded me in a way of the movie The Messengers. Have you seen that movie with Dylan McDermott and Kristen Stewart? It was kind of like that same premise where they were trying to get away from a tragedy that happened. They moved, like, they bought this like obsolete little house in like a part of the country they had never been to, and they moved in. It was like dusty, and so it was kind of like that. I was like, oh wait a minute, are we gonna deal with some ghosts here? You know, but
no, they did. And like, to kind of bounce back on one of the other keys, you know what I thought was smart about the sister? What was her name?
Kinsey.
Kinsey was very smart in a young, simplistic way. She learned what her fear was, and she had a personified fear. And she said, I don't want to be scared. So she went into her brain, got her fear, took it out in the field, stabbed it, and buried it.
My daughter and I was looking at that like, that's not a good idea.
No, it was a good idea only because, like, how many people want to, like, I have this thing, or I have anxiety, or I have, you know, asthma, or I have, like, I'm nearsighted. What if you could just go in somewhere, pluck it out, bury it, and not have to deal with it? And I just thought it was really
cool,
but it was a simplistic way of dealing with it. I knew there would be a consequence, but like, how efficient was that? It was great.
It was, but it was, again, still, it was kind of like, you know, taking your shitty vision and burying that so you can see well is a little bit different from taking...
Yeah, I know. I'm just giving you an example of, like, if it was the same, like, there's this thing that's crippling me. I want to take it out into the woods, stab it, done. And she was done with it. And it was just like, if like dealing with anxiety or dealing with depression or anything or fear or even a trauma of a memory was as easy as taking it out and burying it. Cause like she buried it in the same place that they buried the memories. Right. So
somewhere in that area.
It was on the grounds. So it was just like really cool. And I also like that we saw her fear lurking around the corner, but I think they should have made it a little bit more menacing, like a little bit more stalkery, because at some point I just thought it was Well Lady being creepy. But
The fact that it got loose and attacked Bully Girl and scratched her up and called her up, it wasn't menacing enough.
Well, no, because I felt like maybe there should have been a buildup to it, because I had forgot about the fear being loose and I thought it was dead, you know? So I think maybe they should have had more of a buildup of it's coming back, it's lurking, it's going to do something, it's going to attack. Because did they do anything with the fear after that, or they just kind of let it alone and it was chilling?
I don't know if they were able to catch it. I don't know. I don't remember what may have happened to it, but it was kind of like, I like the way that it happened. Because again, like you said, it was dead and buried. I thought that was done. But when Sam got into the house, she was like, "Oh, I'll show you where the key is."
I was like, "Oh, I know where she's going."
I didn't get that at all. I didn't really understand that was her fear getting at him until the fear came and got the bully. I just didn't get it, you know? I don't know. I just thought that was clever. I haven't seen a character be that efficient with it. And I liked after she said, "I took it out, I killed it, and now I have no fear, and I'm doing my thing. What up?" And she was just going around being a badass. And I'm just like, you know, that's how, as a kid, a kid would think. Like, if I was a kid and I had that opportunity, I felt like I would have been her and I would have done that same exact thing and not thought about the consequence. And I just, I really like that, because it's just like, idiot. What are you doing? You don't think about the consequences because you don't have that adult experience, you know?
Right, so. But that's why I said I feel like her taking the fear out, like, I understand the reasoning behind it, but you can also kind of see where it has a negative effect, because when they went into the cove and the water started getting higher and stuff, and she was just basically like, okay, whatever. And then, you know, her friends are telling her, "Hey, the water's rising up. We're not going to be able to get back. You know, we might end up drowning ourselves." And she was just kind of like, the gravity of the situation didn't hit her. And and she realized it's because she didn't have any fear anymore. So it's like when you, and I'm saying this because I'm reading something online about some online Dragon Con panels, but thinking back to like the vampires and the Vampire Diaries, like they turn their humanity off and they don't think about the consequences of their actions. And that's kind of how I looked at it with her taking her fear out. It was like shutting down her humanity. It's like, okay, yeah, I used to have this and it was keeping me from being great, and now I don't have it and I don't have any fear and I can just do whatever. And it's like, you don't stop to second guess yourself when you have that sort of no fear, or, you know, she just kind of was like, okay, I'm just going with the flow. And that could have, luckily it worked out in her favor for the most part, but that could have had some really, really bad consequences.
I think the bad consequence of it is Gabe too, because they don't know Gabe is bad, right? Or do they?
No, they remember. They don't.
So I could not figure out for the life of me why Gabe was all up on her. Didn't care if she had a boyfriend. And now the boy that she actually likes, it was just like, I'm out. I can't do this threesome crap, which good on him. That was just like, too. Good.
that was funny, too.
Because it's just like,
it made you real bold. Like,
right? She suggested it. She suggested it, and they just kind of stood there in shock. And I was just like, how do you respond to that? Like, are you crazy?
Right. Coming from a 16-year-old. So, yeah.
I like you both, and I want you both. Yeah. Okay.
and not even to mention the fact that they are like friends. So yeah. It's kind of like, okay, you guys think about it and then get back to me like what? But yeah,
He was classy about it. He was just like, that doesn't work for me because.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's better off because he'll probably end up dying if you stick around there. Yeah,
something's gonna happen next. You know, yeah.
So whatever. Because
he's like too nice.
Nah, he was just British.
Not to say, well, yeah, that too. But I mean, not to say that there is anything wrong with that. But it's just kind of like the nice guys don't generally fare well in this sort of environment. So.
Oh, yeah, because they end up having to sacrifice themselves Yeah, I can see that happening to them. But, yeah, this is a really cute show. It's really well thought out. I can't wait to see the second season.
Hopefully we don't have to wait till 2022.
Yeah. All right. Any last thoughts on that one?
No, just all around fun show. Enjoyed it a lot, and can't wait for season two.
All right, then. So, guys, if you want to comment on this one, give us a call at 773-336-2686. We're on the web at scifipartyline.com. We're on Instagram at scifipartyline. We're on Twitter at scifipartyline. We're on Facebook. We have a discussion group or just a group or page or whatever. And you can subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or Google Play. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. And we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.